I can't tell you when, but several weeks ago, I just felt for this Sunday that we ought to have this emphasis on the fact that we have an enemy, but he is to be overcome. I really doubted we'd get this far in the service tonight, the way we closed this morning's service, just a spiritual high throughout our ranks. But that must mean that God has something he wants to specifically share this evening. We are going to talk about our enemy again this evening. And I'd like to say I don't believe in giving undue attention or credit to our enemy, Satan. On the other hand, I think sometimes we forget what we're really facing, what we're really battling. Amen. I don't want to give him any glory. Talk about how powerful he is. I want to talk about how powerful the Lord is. You know, I don't want to be like folks I've heard testify. Get up and testify, the devil's been after me all day long. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. If you turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 44, and we will look at what Jesus has to say. As you're turning, you know, I used to have opportunity to fish, and I've always loved to lure fish. You know, fish with the lure. And I'll tell you one thing. I never changed my artificial bait when the fish were striking. Never did. I never did put on a different lure as long as the fish were striking. And you know, Satan keeps using the same old things against people, and he keeps using them because they keep working. I think it's time we serve notice in our enemy that these things aren't going to work on us anymore. Amen? Just say no. I refuse. We know what you're trying to do. We know how you're trying to do it. And we say no. Amen? Would you stand for the reading of God's word? Jesus said, how would you like him for a revival? Ye are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He's talking about the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Right there's enough, really, to meditate on for a long time. There's no truth in the devil. Ever, ever, ever is there any truth in anything that he says to you. There's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a liar. I want to minister tonight with this thought. The biggest thing about Satan. The biggest thing about Satan. You can be seated. Well, let's just look at this. Is the biggest thing about Satan his tail? We get that from medieval ages. Is the biggest thing about Satan his horns? Is the biggest thing about Satan his pitchfork? Is the biggest thing about Satan his torch? I think Scripture says the biggest thing about Satan is his mouth. His mouth. Have you ever heard the expression, that guy has a mouth on him? Have you ever heard the expression, that woman there, she's all mouth? We used to hear, where I was from, about the mouth of the South. And they were referring to a certain individual. The biggest thing about Satan is his mouth. Now, I want you to notice when Peter describes our adversary, that was one of the main features he assigned to him. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a biting lion, as a clawing lion, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. It's his mouth that Peter points out to us, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're first introduced to Satan way back in Genesis chapter 3, at the beginning of human history. And the first thing that's noted about Satan when we're introduced to him, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made." Here's the first thing described to him, ascribed to him. "And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." The first action attributed to Satan was that he said to God's people, one of God's people. You know, Satan in the scripture is introduced to us as someone that is talking. And I want you to know, he still is talking. He has never shut up, except those times Christ told him to. Or the believer with the anointing of the Spirit says, enough is enough. By the Christ authority, I say to you, Satan, just be quiet. Talking. In fact, we're looking at the end of time. And the Bible said at the end of time, there will arise the Antichrist, the minion of Satan. And I want you to notice this Antichrist that embodies Satan himself. Notice what the main characteristic of this Antichrist is. Daniel 7 verse 8. "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." There it is again. It's his mouth. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5. "There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And verse 6, "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy." And that'll be enough of those verses. But once again, this main man of Satan, this Antichrist, his very puppet, if you please, again, the main emphasis is upon his mouth. That's what always frightens me when we have charismatic leaders, that the most notable thing about them is their ability to sway with their mouth, their speech, their talking. One of the main descriptions of Satan is also that of accuser. How many knows that at its root meaning, Satan means the accuser? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren," Satan, "the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." I'm telling you, that's who the devil is. He is an accuser. Now, to accuse means to level a charge against someone, to make a claim about something bad about someone. He is the accuser. But here's the point. You can't make an accusation without communicating it. And the very fact that he's the accuser of the brethren means that Satan is speaking those things. He goes from one to another and he speaks. He makes charges. He points out bad things. He levels charges of accusations. It's his mouth. The biggest thing about Satan is his mouth. He is the accuser. Let me tell you how that works. Satan uses his mouth to speak things to us about us. How many knows he will accuse you to yourself? "You're not very good after all. You're not really a Christian." He's an accuser. Satan uses his mouth to speak things to us about others. "They don't like you. They're talking about you." Satan uses his mouth to talk to others about us. Amen. Sometimes I wonder what Satan's saying about me. Have you ever wondered that? Satan uses his mouth to speak things to us about God. God's not real. God doesn't love you. Satan uses his mouth to speak things to God about us. We learned that from Job. Satan said to God, "He just serves you because you gave him lots of sheep and camels and children. You take it away, he'll quit serving you." He is the accuser of the brethren, and he uses his mouth. You know, a lot of times Satan doesn't have to make the rounds. He has help. How many knows when Satan can't use his mouth, he doesn't need to, because he can use people's mouths. I thought someone would run the aisles over that. There's a news commentator on the radio that does montages to point out that, you know, that media has a template. And when one media outlet begins to speak about something, you can go through all the outlets, all the anchors, and they're all saying the same thing, the very phrases, the very words. Let me just pull an example from several years back. They brought in a new word. They was talking about one of the candidates, and they say they have no gravitas. And this commentator played this montage of a multiplicity of anchors over multiplicities of outlets, and over, just one after the other. They have no gravitas. They have no gravitas. They have no gravitas. They have no gravitas. You know, I've learned when you have a community of people, when different people keep using the same phraseology, using the same words to make the same complaint, there is a common source to that. And the least worst scenario would be the common source is a person. But I believe many times the common source is Satan himself. He likes to whisper something and suggest something to one person and use that person to spread that and spread that and spread that. The biggest thing about Satan is his mouth. Let me tell you how Satan uses his mouth to talk to people. Satan uses his mouth to talk to people to deny. To deny. He tells people that truth is not really truth. He will tell folks that God's word really is not God's word, that Jesus really is not the Christ. He tells folks that God does not really mean what he said. He denies that truth is truth. Have you ever had him come your way and begin to speak denials of God to your mind and to your heart? Satan not only uses his mouth to deny, he uses his mouth to denounce. To denounce someone is to point out their faults and their failures. And Satan likes to point out to us why others are no good and what others' faults are and how others have this failure here and there. Let me tell you how Satan uses his mouth. He comes to folks and says, your brother is no good. Your brother, your sister doesn't love you. Your brother's done this and that. Your sister doesn't deserve to do what she's doing in the church. And on he denounces, he runs down, he ridicules, he criticizes. That mouth goes on and on, that motor mouth of denouncing folks. Satan also uses his mouth to degrade. He loves to degrade. Amen. You know this. You know I'm preaching the truth. But Satan loves to tear you down to yourself. He'll tell you you're nothing. He'll tell you you're a failure. He'll tell you you'll never make it serving God. He'll tell you you'll never amount to anything. He'll tell you you're not important to God. You're not important to the church. You're not important to anyone else. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself. When he gets to talking that way, you need to talk back to him. Tell him he's a liar and start singing, oh yes, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. But he uses his mouth to degrade. He uses his mouth to discourage. Satan is a master of discouragement. Satan wants to keep us from recognizing what God is doing in our lives. Keep us from recognizing what God is going to do in our lives. He'll tell us with that mouth. He'll say there's no hope in your situation. He'll tell you God's never going to answer your prayer. He'll tell you things are always going to be the way they are right now. That people can't change and you can't change and you can't make it. He'll get you to thinking there's no hope, no joy, no victory. Discouraging, talking to discouragement. Hallelujah. You say, how can you preach all those things? Because he talks to me too. If I take the time to listen to him right now, he'd be telling me that message isn't going to help anybody. You might as well shut up right now. The only things folks want to hear is in conclusion. Satan uses his mouth to deceive. He will try to get us to accept error as truth. I've never thought it a good reason to accept something just because the speaker could so effectively move the audience. Satan uses his mouth to deceive. He even quotes scripture. Parts of it. A piece here and piece there. He uses his mouth to deceive. He says, yes, the Bible does say that, but in your case, it's okay. He'll tell you, he'll say, now look, think about this a minute. How could anything so fun and so pleasurable be wrong? The devil will speak and say, well, everybody's doing it. He'll speak and say, well, don't you think you ought to follow that new doctrine? I mean, the man preaching that doctrine, he draws a crowd. I had a new convert once that it was very promising till he got upset. It's something I instructed him from the Word of God. And I'll never forget, out in the parking lot, he was already in a vehicle. He rolled down his window. And he said, look, it's this simple to me. He said, you told me one way, but that guy on the television told me the other way. And I look there in that church, and there's 200 people. And I look to that crowd that guy's preaching to, and there's 5 or 10,000. He said, who do you think I'm going to listen to? That's the way Satan speaks. I mean, look, they draw a crowd. They work miracles. Satan deceives. He says, it won't hurt just this once. He says, you can get back on track later. He'll say, it doesn't matter what the elders say and mom and dad says. It's going to be different for you. How many knows he uses his mouth to deceive? Satan uses his mouth to cause doubt. He'll tell you this thing of serving God's not working. Have you ever had him talk to you? Start whispering to you. Why didn't God answer your prayer? Does God really answer prayer? He didn't answer your prayer. He begins to talk to you. He'll tell you, God doesn't really love you. You know, I'm telling you the truth. There's been times you've literally met God. It's seen face to face in a church service. Never felt God's presence as strongly. Knew that it was God. Knew the touch of God. Heard the voice of God. And the time you got on the parking lot, Satan was already saying, that wasn't real. That was just emotion. That was just you. Uses his mouth to cause doubt. He uses his mouth to deter. Has anyone ever given you directions and you followed them? I'm talking about while you were driving and it messed you up big time. I'm telling you, every once in a while, Satan gets involved in that GPS. You're supposed to be able to set what voice it is, but have you ever followed it and got all messed up? We are on a journey. It's been mentioned several times tonight. We're going somewhere. But every once in a while, Satan likes to whisper false directions because he wants to get us off path. I've heard it over and over. These things tonight, I've not really hit them really hard with the hammer here. But I hear a lot of these things all the time. I've heard folks say, well, I'm not important at church. Who told you that? That's a great sermon. How many knows that? You know, we're talking about the garden. And Adam and Eve, after they sinned, they hid from God. And God came searching for them. And why did you hide? Because we recognized that we were unclothed. God said, who told you that? That's an important question to ask. When you start hearing those discouraging, doubtful, deceitful things, you just need to ask, who is telling me that? He tries to deter us, to get us off path. He'll say, you really ought to do this. Have you considered doing that? You need something new. You can do this and you can still be in church. You can still be a Christian and do this and that. I mean, he wants to get you off path. Hallelujah. And so Satan uses his mouth to do those things. And I just want to, this is not another sermon, but I must say here that a person is no more like Satan. Hear me. A person is no more like Satan than when that person is using his mouth to criticize and cut people down and gossip and try to convince somebody to do something that's wrong. They're no more like Satan than in those moments. Because that's what he does with his mouth. Hallelujah. I've heard the great encouraging truth, and I believe it. I know it's spoken rhetorical, but it's true. I've heard the devil can't cross the bloodline. I mean, he's heard that. I believe that. I believe he can't get a toe over, a foot over, or a leg over. But Sister Karen, just because he can't get his leg over, can't cross the bloodline, doesn't mean he can't shout over it and speak over it and talk to us. I'm telling you, the only way the devil can actually get at us as believers is if we listen to him. If we listen to him. I want to tell you, I got to tell you before I quit here, not only does the devil speak, but God is speaking. How many was aware in the morning service and through Camp Dove and tonight that God is speaking as well? It simply boils down, whom am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the voice of the Lord, or am I going to believe the voice of the enemy? I asked myself a question. I typed it out this afternoon. But why do people seem to take what the devil says more readily than they take what God says? Word of God can come forth from the pulpit, thus saith the Lord. And that goes like water off the duck's back to someone that's in the struggle. And Satan just come along and just whisper, you don't mean anything to God. And immediately, people will believe that. I think it's time we believe the thus saith the Lord. I think if we would tell the enemy to be quiet, we would recognize God has some things to say to us as well. He'd be saying, I know you by name. I've called you and you are mine. I died for you. I will give you the victory. You will overcome. You can make it. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen to the voice of the Lord. I'm going to close. I don't want to open another sermon, but I'm going to close with this. If the biggest thing about the devil is his mouth. Have you ever heard the expression, fight fire with fire? Fight his mouth with your mouth. I remember years ago as a young preacher, not that I don't still make mistakes and do silly things, but I was preaching one night and the devil got to talking to me while I was preaching. And I was going to talk back to him. There's only one problem. I forgot to move the microphone. And I don't know what I was preaching. You know, Jesus loves the little children. And he got to talking to me, and right in the middle, I said, shut up, Satan, and leave me alone. Everybody goes, must have worked. About 14 people went. You know what I'm fixing to say, that I'm not in this name it or claim it or your words in and of themselves have power. But I do believe we can fight his mouth with our mouth. What are you talking about, Pastor Hurst? First of all, we can speak the word. I'm not talking about just knowing it by memory, reading it. We can speak the word. Why is it important to speak it? Look at the example of our Savior. When Satan came and began to tempt Jesus and quote a little bit of word, the first thing Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh out. Jesus spoke the word to Satan and overcame Satan, and Satan had to end up leaving Jesus for that season. I'm telling you, when Jesus or when Satan comes against us, we need to speak the word. And I'm talking about speaking the word that applies to the situation. I'm telling you, Satan's come and he's telling you this trial's too hard. You're not going to make it out of it. You're just going to succumb to the trial. It's not really worth it. It does no good to turn to Satan and say, I'll tell you what, Satan. Abraham begat Isaac and Isaac begat Jacob. That does no good. But when he comes and tell you it's not worth it, you're not going to make it. You look at Satan and say, for I am convinced that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Speak the word. Speak the word. Use your mouth. I believe another thing we can do, we can plead the blood of Jesus. I want to make clear tonight, pleading the blood of Jesus is not a magical formula like abracadabra. It's not this magical formula. You see, we need to realize what we're doing when we plead. Have you ever heard someone do that pray, I plead the blood of Jesus? Or, oh, blood of Jesus. Have you heard that? What you're doing, you're not using a magic formula. But when you plead the blood of Jesus, you're saying to Satan, let's get this straight. The blood of Jesus has already conquered you. I read it this morning, Colossians chapter 2. It says there, by the cross, the blood of his cross, the cross, he has spoiled principalities and power and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, the cross, the blood shed there. Satan comes against you. You know, how many notice a lot of his attacks come at night? Prince of darkness. How many's ever had it happen at night? Just wake up with an unnamed fear all over you. Things that it'll speak to you. But I'm telling you, when you plead the blood, Brother O'Hare, what you're saying, it's not a magic formula. What you're saying is, the blood of Jesus tells me, Satan, and tells you that you're already conquered and you can't do this to me. Plead the blood. To plead the blood of Jesus says something else. It says, I am Christ and not Satan's. I belong to Christ. Satan will act like he owns you. Owns your future. Owns your decisions. He's got his control over you. But when you plead the blood, you say, wait a minute, Satan. I don't belong to you because I have been purchased. I've been bought. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. In Acts chapter 20, it says, take heed therefore unto yourselves to the flock of God, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. To plead the blood says, I have been purchased by his blood. I do not belong to you, Satan. You cannot have me. I belong to Christ. To plead the blood says, I am forgiven. The scripture says if we could, you know, by the way, let me preface that by saying this. One of the major attacks of Satan upon us is to tell us that our past sins really aren't forgiven. Or to tell us we've messed up too big this time to be forgiven. Isn't that one of his main attacks? But to plead the blood of Jesus says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Oh, don't you like that word? Cleanse us. From what? Oh, are you glad you can say that? Cleanse us. From all. Listen, Satan, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus. You're telling me I'm not saved. You're telling me I've not been forgiven. You've told me I've messed up too drastically this time. But the Bible says, and the shed blood will come and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And so we fight him with our mouth. We speak the word and we plead the blood. And last of all, and you can add to it, we use our mouth, we pray in the name of Jesus. And again, the name of Jesus isn't a magical formula. To pray in the name of Jesus is to bring Christ's authority into the situation. That's why that little 98-pound policeman, he'll put on a uniform, have a badge, and have a whistle. Stand out in the middle of the street, lift his hand, and blow that whistle, and that big old semi will screech to a halt. What do they normally say when they go to the door and they knock on it to apprehend someone? They say, open in the name of the law, the authority. to pray in the name of Jesus is to bring the authority of Christ into your situation. If you ask anything in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. How many believes praying in the name of Jesus? Oh, again, not a magic formula, but devil, you're coming against me, but you must leave in the name of Jesus. The devil say, you're no match for me. Yes, sir, devil, you're right. That's the only truthful thing you've said. I'm no match for you. But what you forget, I'm praying in the name of Jesus. And when I pray in his name, he is here. He is here with all his power over heaven and earth and over every serpent and scorpion. He is here when we pray in the name of Jesus. Music, would you come? I'm going to close with this. I don't know why this kept coming to me. It's just a generic thing. But there's been situations, let's say when a spouse has confronted his or her spouse about unfaithfulness. And the unfaithful spouse will begin to hem and haul and give all these reasons and try to deny and this and that. And the other spouse will begin to say these words, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. Sometimes it's between parents and children. Don't lie to me. I'm telling you, one of the most refreshing things for your life, life-changing things you could do, is simply begin to tell Satan, don't lie to me. I know what the truth is. The devil will tell you tonight, you're here and you've not yet surrendered your life to Christ. The devil will tell you, you have plenty of time. You don't need to do it tonight. You need to say to him, don't lie to me. Since I've come through these doors, I felt the Spirit of the Lord deal with me to give my life to him. Devil, don't lie to me. I don't know. I just know that it happens frequently. You may be in these services today and nobody knows, but you're already thinking, I can't make it. It's not worth it. I'll just try a different thing, go a different way. Right now, you just need to say, devil, don't lie to me. I'm not even going to listen to that. I'm going to listen to what the Word said. Oh, aren't you glad for truth? How many's glad for truth? Jesus said he's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning. When he speaks a lie. But Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The devil will tell you tonight, there's nothing to this. It's just religion. We don't need it. You don't need it. You'll be okay. Tell him, don't lie to me. I do need Jesus. I do need him. The devil will tell you not you could make it. You can just, you know, don't get too involved. Just, you know, come to church enough to feel a little better. But you don't need to be fanatical about it. You don't need to pray in the altar. You don't need to worship. You don't need to be involved in ministry. Just tell the devil right here tonight, you're lying. Don't lie to me. I'm going to believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for truth? Would you stand across the building? Let's turn our hearts to the one that always speaks the truth. Would you do that? The God of all truth. Would you turn your heart to him right now? Say, thank you, God, that you've told me the truth. You've told me the truth. You've told me the truth about me. You've told me the truth about eternity. You've told me the truth about salvation. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together. I don't think I've ever given an altar call like this. But I'm going to do it tonight. I wonder if there's anyone, and you begin to come by to say this. Satan's been lying to me, and I've been listening to it, but no more. That's the altar call. I realize whatever the issue is, you just say, Satan's been lying to me about some things, but tonight I'm not going to listen to him. Amen. Would you like to come tonight anywhere in the building? You just like to admit it. Satan's been lying to me about some things. Are there others that would come? That takes honesty. He'll tell you that your situation is never going to work out. He'll tell you that God's will never happen in your life. Are there others tonight you just like to come? I believe if we'll be honest, God will speak truth into our life tonight. You just say, would you come right now? I mean, maybe it wasn't something I said specifically, but you know what I'm talking about. Satan has been lying to you. You're saying that by coming. He's been, but no more. I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to what the truth is, what the Word of God says. I've talked to folks this week that said, well, I just feel like, and the thing they just felt like was the voice of Satan. I had to tell them that's not the way it is. Objectively, truthfully, that's not the way it is. Don't listen to Satan. Listen to God. Hallelujah. I would like the saints to come and begin to pray with these that have already come. Hallelujah. We bind together. Amen. I want you to do, listen, you that are praying, I want you to do what I told you. I want you to speak the word of God. Amen. Speak the word of God to Satan. Amen. Tell Satan what the word of God says. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I can pass through the water. I can pass through the flood. He'll be with me. Amen. Speak the word. Plead the blood of Jesus. I am forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Amen. Pray in the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus.